When we say upadana khanda, it means khandas as object of upadana.
Khanda is object of upadana. Because whenever there is upadana, there must be object of upadana. And object are all the five khandas.
Right. So, concepts are not included in this?
Do you have upadana of concepts?
I wonder, I'm not sure. Do we have attachment to concepts? We don't have attachment to concepts? To coffee, for example?
No taste, just the word.
There is taste.
Yeah.
But also the idea of wanting...
That is only thinking.
So that time is there is attachment to the idea.
But not as a reality.
Not as a reality, mm-hmm. but we're talking about upadana.
So you are attached to that which is not real.
So there is upadana also to concepts.
You are attached to that is not real, but when since it's not a reality, so it cannot be khanda.
Okay. So concepts are not included in upadana
khanda. Because a concept is not khanda.
It's not.
But when we talk about the upadanas, four upadanas, for example, the one about ditupadana, so someone may have an idea that there's no karma, then it's...
Okay, Baba. Do you cling to Baba?
Could be the voice.
The voice, not the Baba?
Maybe it reminds me of some music.
No, that sound is the sound, but the Baba? So funny if you cling to Baba and Bobo and Bibi.
So again, it depends. It may be coming from a little kid to a small child.
But when there's no voice, what about that? No idea about Baba, Bibi, Bobo?
Yeah. It all starts with reality.
Even in a dream, all the clinging is just
to ideas and concepts. It's ideas and concepts about
reality. I heard once that someone referred to something in the suttas that said that singing is a form of madness. Is it true? Any sutta says?
Especially, it's like for monks, it's like crying.
Uh-huh.
Instead of singing, it's crying.
So for monks.
So pitiful.
I mean, is it said in those words that singing is a form of madness?
I'll cry if a monk. Because when we talk about madness, it can be any time when one is indulged in anything with pleasure.
Okay. Stronger.
Yeah.
But for a lay person,
paint or play music or seeing, it's very normal, very natural.
More than ordinary.
Sorry?
More than ordinary. So we say that that's crazy or something like that.
If it is more than ordinary.
Mind you, the Buddha also said, Sabbepa Tujjana Ummattika, all worldlings are mad, Ummattika, unless you're enlightened. Mm.
What are you mad about? Someone like car, someone likes antiques and so on.
Okay, so we cannot say mad about sound or taste, but mad about concepts based on these experiences.
Anything.
To a certain degree.
Because we use the word that we do not have any understanding from birth until we understand the teachings.
Just before you came, Ajahn, we were talking about karma vipaka, and there was the case of sometimes people who were in the war, last war, and they were in the Air Force and they dropped bombs, and it was mentioned that they may not have the intention to kill. It just seems, although I can see that is possibly true, you know, they're just following orders. And I know this is sort of the area of conjecture. What's your feeling on that subject?
In terms of citta, cetasika, rupa, it's very easy. But in terms of situation and people, quite difficult to say about each situation.
So, when thinking in terms of citta, cetasika, rupa, it can be anything. Right?
Because
it depends on the
intention. No one there, only the element, the conditioned element.
Response the other day when there was some discussion about bankers or politicians or any of these circumstances. You know, we sort of talk about good people and bad people and good and bad situations, but actually it all comes down to different cheetahs and cheetah seekers, and otherwise, you know, we kind of judge in terms of the situation and just forget about the cheetah at this moment.
And most important is which is thinking at that time, because if you're thinking with ignorance, then it's no use anyway, just speculating.
And nothing is more amazing than citta and cetasika and rupa, which are conditioned. They are never the same one. See, just one moment arises and falls away and never come back, but the conditions are there. For we don't know today or tomorrow or next life at all. Very intricate to condition this moment, see. No matter it's what kind of kusla or what kind, what degree of understanding, see. All can be only by conditions. Until this moment is Adama appearing.
His teachings are ehipasiko. It means it can be understood now.
And by oneself.
By oneself.
Mm-hmm. Because it's gone completely each moment.
It's not like some people think that you hear and then one day you might see the truth. It's either you understand or not understand.
And you cannot show that to anyone at all.
Came in, Sukhin mentioned that someone had told him the story about how you were interested in the Dharma and then you read about how singing is madness and stopped singing. And but the way I think you told me is just, okay, conditions not to sing anymore, because otherwise people may think they should copy your example and stop singing, and that would be wrong.
I think that no one can tell when, at what time or date or at any moment at all. They are only conditioned just for one split second. That's all. Yeah. No rule. And we cannot say that we can give up this or that because there are still conditions. But not now, see, only just now.
You used to, I mean, I've not heard in recent times, you used to say don't overreach. That means that it's just understanding what appears, not try to.
Because that's the self is there, so Panya has to be so keen enough to see that in there, what is what. Always in a moment, which is conditioned. That's why the understanding of the anatta-ness should be developed, very well established, to let go the idea of self at any moment when whatever appears to sati.
Should not sing or something like this, then can easily be wrong practice again, and thinking that by not singing there will be more understanding or more kusala, but not understanding conditioned dharmas at all.
And there can be a moment of understanding that panya is not enough, because at that moment it does not understand that which appears as a reality.
It's not enough to see the akusla singing. It's not enough to see the desire not to have, not to want to stop singing.
Because you see that even seeing that it's unwholesome, but the self is there.
Yeah, the self, it does not.
So the most important thing is understanding it as a reality.
Mm. So actually, when in fact, if there is self, there cannot be attachment to sensual pleasures. So when you think you can stop having sensual pleasures, that means you don't even know that self is worse.
You think that by not singing
there will not be attachment. It's wrong.
No time for singing. No time for cooking. But see, time for something, see?
Yeah.
That actually shows the danger of self-view, because it takes kusla for self,
right,
and that's...
Right. If it's still there, no way to eliminate the idea of self and all other akusla.
And if someone thinks they should just follow the jhanas,
pattern, like, oh, they shouldn't sing but they can watch television or something, it's not the right way, because it's no understanding at all.
And what holds one from that moment, see, self again. So one can see the way panya has to develop to any moment.
There's no, either you understand or you don't understand. There's no like midway. If someone, but for example, I sometimes hear comments that this and that teacher teaches similar to what you teach. But then at the same time, they're saying so many things that are wrong. So you can't say that they're teaching the same
thing.
That's
why they say similar.
Yeah. Wrong is wrong. I've not seen anyone else but you who teaches this way. Is it all right if I say that we're lucky to be here?
What about the mankala? See, the result of previous kusala condition this moment. Like this morning condition this moment too. Without right condition, no one's here at all.
Being here is not necessarily right conditions because some people, even after 20 years, don't understand what you're saying.
But know how, where to go to develop understanding. Otherwise, there would be more and more wrong understanding.
Having a discussion here, and first friend says, well, there's only reality now, just one reality appearing at a time, that's it. There are no streams of consciousness, no characters, because there's just one citta at a moment, one reality appearing. And the second friend says, actually, nama and rupa arise in the stream of elements that began 60 years ago in this life or end in the next few decades. And the Rupa Kanda is actually trillions of incredibly tiny kalapas, and each kalapa is conditioned by four factors, and each kalapa has four elements plus at least four other types of rupa, including color. The kalapa has no space inside, it's indivisible. Each kalapa lasts for a trillionth time as flash of lightning and then disappears forever, and so on. And that actually, this is what is meant by a stream of cheetahs and consciousness, and it's very intricate and very detailed, and so one can't just say there is just present moment and just one
reality. But
there
must be present moment too, right?
Right, must be present moment, must be one cheetah mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
But some people may say, like the first friend, that all that's important is just understand what appears now, no need to talk about streams of consciousness and countless kalapas and all these details, because actually only one citta now, that's all that's important. But the other friend says, well, actually it's important to realize that there are all these kalapas, and they've gone on for, there are billions of these kalapas and all these details.
To be conditioned of more confidence and understanding.
Mm. So actually both are correct, because actually there is just this one citta. There is no stream.
But no one
moment.
Can experience one citta right now. See, there's cakku vinyana, sambatichana, santirana. Only one.
Or one object appearing
mm-hmm.
now. So
cannot be, because it's not known, so one needs to hear more details in order for it to be known.
I don't know, I just read the first paragraph. I don't think it's helpful to talk about stream of elements that began 60 years ago. What does it matter, I mean, 60 years ago?
Well, this is what the first friend says, you know, what does it matter about all those billions of kalapas aeons ago, or because what all that matters is understanding what appears at this moment. But Ajahn was saying that by understanding more about the kalapas and the details and what appeared 60 years ago, the patisandhi and the space between the kalapas, it can be a condition for more confidence in understanding dharmas. I think depending on accumulations, what do you think?
Well, I think the second person is saying that the only reality that can be known is what appears now. And we are talking about developing understanding, right? So if one person thinks about 60 years ago and stream of chittas, but agrees that all that can be understood now is just that what appears, then it should be okay, I think. But I think it usually these discussions usually start when it's not just talking about that in terms of an idea, but actually saying that from here, that I know you, Sarah, as Sarah, because you were born one day, 60 years ago, which I don't think is helpful, because
anytime.
What's going on now doesn't matter how
from
old Sarah
when,
is or
from when.
From
yeah.
when. Right. No, sometimes I see that the problem in discussion
maybe
is
in this
they
life,
don't understand
just in this life.
Where the other person is coming from.
Can we say in this life?
In this life, I don't understand.
Not only 60s, 70s, 70.
But in this life...
No matter how long ago.
In this life, Sarah is Sarah. Are you saying, referring to
No,
that?
I mean that no matter how long ago, not necessary to be 60.
The first friend is saying that when people
talk about streams of consciousness, for example, that actually it's just an idea because there is no stream, there is only Chitanal. With one object appearing, and there isn't any such thing as a stream.
What is present is not a stream, but it is conditioned in various ways by past, the previous chitta,
mm-hmm.
right? So what is understood is that is conditioned,
mm-hmm.
but not as a stream. As a stream is just an idea. I mean, you can say that there's a stream because there's
You can talk about a stream with right understanding or with wrong understanding.
Yeah, I'm saying that, but I'm also saying that what gives rise to the idea of stream is in fact the fact that there is a one chitta conditions in there.
And that
right.
is the stream.
And that can, but that can be understood only in the moment,
a
not
stream.
From thinking in
yeah.
terms of stream.
But it's a stream, not just one.
It's not one.
Always followed.
So that is the correct way to consider it.
The other and the falling away of proceeding. One is
yeah,
a condition
yeah,
for the next
yeah.
one to arise.
Yeah. Sometimes the problem is these two people, they just like to fight. So
what for?
They don't try to understand each other. They just want to fight.
Well, I think it's two
opposing ideas. One would say, actually, all that's important is just understand what is real now, what is appearing now, and this is Pariyatti. And the other would say that in order to understand now, we have to understand a lot more details. We have to understand about kalapas, we have to understand about bhavankachitas, we have to understand about streams of consciousness in detail, and that this is Pariyatti. So I think it's just a different idea.
Actually, it comes down to the key.
considering the present.
I mean, because we do think in terms of things made up. So between understanding kalapas and atoms, it's better to understand in terms of kalapas. Right? Even though you don't experience the kalapas, but you do understand that it's not like atoms, that which is different concepts made up of this and that, which are just concepts. But kalapas are reality. Hardness is a reality. Heat is a reality. And they both condition each other in a kalapa. That can be understood.
That is theoretical understanding. Theoretical. Yeah.
But
when it appears, it does not appear as kalapa. But by understanding that, there can be less attachment to the idea of something permanent.
There can also be delirious
thinking when it's just thinking about how many kalapas there are in the world and the trillions of kalapas and this and that. So it can be just like scientific knowledge or anything else. So it just, I think it just...
And kalapa is very hard to understand. And I think kalapa is very hard to understand. I was telling my son the other day, who asked me about it, and I said, maybe it's easier for you since you're only a kid. We have been educated by science for so many years that each time we think about kalapas, we think as if in terms of atoms and all that. So it's not easy because we've been conditioned to think in a different way, the scientific way.
What about just there are spaces in between each kalapa?
Each kalapa. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's easy to understand.
But still, we still think like atoms.
No, if you don't know the word, if you haven't heard this word atom, but you can see that anything can be broken up because of the akasa in between the kalapas.
Jan, it's funny. Even you're saying a kalapa and it can be understood in space, it's still a mental picture. And mental picture is based on a derived rupa. It's not even a Mahabhuta rupa, which is a visible object, right? So that shows how far we are in the understanding.
How far from intellectual understanding, from this to the bhavana,
yes.
And from bhavana to padiveda, realization.
So, Achan, maybe kalapa is something that can be understood only with direct understanding?
Certainly.
Not like each reality. There can be some intellectual understanding which leads to direct understanding.
When
but
they
kalapa
appear
is after.
Yeah.
I've got a question
about Vinyati Rupa, which we were referring to a bit earlier. Vinyati Rupa, intimation, like Kaya Vinyati is bodily intimation, and Vachi Vinyati is speech intimation that we were talking about earlier, which are the doors for deeds or speech to be performed. And in a translation from the Thai Dharma Issues, it mentioned that we should consider different cases of karma performed through the body. the groups of rupa originating from citta that motivates karma through the body may be without vinyati rupa. Because vinyati rupa, whenever there's even a gesturing or even walking, there is vinyati rupa. And if it is a deed performed, like giving someone a gift or any deed performed through the body conditioned by citta, then it seems to me there must be vinyati. So what would be an example of groups of rupa originating from citta which motivates karma through the body without vinyati?
It has to be.
So I think this is from
But when it's kaya vinyati, not necessary to be karma.
No, not necessarily to be karma.
When it's karma, it must be.
There must be vinyati rupa. So I think this was a translation of the Thai Dharma issue on it. Maybe it can
from
who? From Foundation. Another
because
time later.
It's
because when I read it, I thought I can't
impossible.
Understand how it can be. Right. Okay, that's the rest of it. It said the groups of rupa originating from citta that motivates karma through the body may be without vinyati rupa. In that case, the unidecad of lightness, a group of 11 rupas, arises. This group includes the 3 vikara rupas arising together with the 4 great elements and then the element of wind. But it doesn't seem that this could be kamapata, like, I mean, citta can condition rupas, like when one blushes, but if it's kama, then must have
kaya
vinyati. Yes, thank you.
So this means that even when we are
staring and giving the look of approval for some kama act, actually there's kaya vinyati around the face.
Otherwise, if there wasn't, then it couldn't be known
at all.
And
you said giving a look.
Yeah.
That would be.
And it said.
So maybe even telling, but just
and
it's
and it said that kaya vinyati is the vara for kaya kama.
Yeah.
Is the what?
The vara.
Here it says makers on, whereas when vinyati rupa
is the doorway of karma. This happens when an intention is displayed through the body, which is in that case a condition for the performing of karma. So that bit is correct. It was just the one before was not. The vinyati rupas can't be known, and the very subtle rupas that don't have lakana. And the sign is intelligible to others. So the reason that the sign is known, or one knows when someone gives a dirty look, is in this example is because yes, so actually it's not the vinyati rupa is known, but it's because of the vinyati rupa there are signs of different,
otherwise how can that person understand?
They can't,
so
it's because of the nimitta of the
because of the kaya vinyati.
But because the kaya vinyati itself cannot be known, but it is cannot be seen, right? Only visible object is seen, and but there are the
through
signs.
That there can be meaning.
So, any more thoughts about thinking?
No, but
any thinking
about thoughts?
Sorry, just
close
to
the mouth. I forgot my questions. Yeah. The first question is Nibbana. I have a small section to talk about Nibbana. Then, in fact, I did not understand. Know how I can explain what Nibbana is. How can you explain what Nibbana is to people who do not know anything about not so much about Buddhism.
How long would you like to live?
That's your question.
In order to understand Nibbana, how long would you like to live?
Oh, it could be eons.
Years and years and years. Yeah, yeah. No understanding until you see the danger of life.
What danger of life?
The danger of
danger
Dhamma.
Of this,
keep on arising and falling away, uncontrollable.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you eat a good lunch.
Okay. So that is the opening wedge. Okay, then. Any other sort of concept to explain what Nibbana is?
Otherwise, it would be object of attachment.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But seeing the danger of conditioned existence, how does that lead to understanding about Nibbana?
So that one thing will... when there will be no beginning, no arising and falling away of all these realities anymore, it will lead to the development of understanding the danger of life on and on, more and more.
But we're talking about something that has never been experienced. So how does someone who's never experienced knows that there is such
like
a thing as Nibbana?
Like Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva didn't experience Nibbana yet.
Yes.
But what about his idea about life? To condition the development of wholesomeness and the understanding until there can be a moment of understanding whatever appears, the arising and falling away, non-stop. It's the very highly developed Panya which can experience that. So Panya sees the danger of the conditioned realities.
So seeing the danger of conditioned realities
with right understanding
comes with understanding that there is a way to stop these?
Certainly.
You'd have to see conditioned realities before you could see the danger too, wouldn't you?
So how long would you like to live?
How long do I want to live? Are you talking about this life or in this
How long? Life? Not only this life.
Oh. You know, I think not often, but sometimes you put that question.
That's why
there's
no understanding of Nibbana.
Oh, yeah. You're listeners, and then you want to have Nibbana, and then people say, no. They only want to have in this life is. So live long as much as possible, as long as possible, in a healthy condition, and they do not say lots of money, lots of Dhamma, having lots of opportunities, but live long. Yeah. In my case, I cannot tell. It's not something I can sort of plan, or it's sort of all conditioned. All I can do is develop satyapanya in this mode. That's all I can do.
Develop understanding.
Yeah.
Can you describe it by saying it's what is the object of consciousness at the moment of enlightenment?
What does it mean? The object.
It's the object of consciousness.
Why do you say object of consciousness? The object of Satyapanya.
No, we're talking about Nibbana, right?
Yeah.
It's the object of consciousness at moment of enlightenment.
Oh. Then you have to say something positive.
Well,
I would say if I was trying to explain it to people, no more rebirth. And explain why. Because life in samsara is essentially dukkha. So the goal is not to live forever, but to die and not to be reborn. And that is parinibbana.
Oh, so I'm saying that the ultimate goal or ultimate goal of the practice is to attain sort of ultimate happiness. And what is ultimate happiness? Oh, yeah. Happiness. It's ultimate happiness. Paramahansa Khan, it's happiness.
Happy?
It's happiness. Oh, it's a Paramahansa Khan. Yeah, Paramahansa Khan. It's Khan. Ultimate happiness.
Happy is not the condition Dhamma, being happy?
No, it's what the Buddha says. Yeah. Nibbana, Paramahansa Khan. Yeah, often said.
Do we have different goals now? Because you see, what about the goal of having no more akusala at all, instead of thinking about Nibbana or anything?
I think sometimes when because you're asking in order to tell other people about Nibbana on your article you're writing. And if we talk about a goal like Nibbana and happiness, they will get the idea that once you're there, it's like heaven, for example. That
no way. I'm saying it's ultimate happiness in the sense that there is no more suffering. Why we have to suffer? Because of our defilement, because of our attachment, is what I'm talking
about. But they will not appreciate that not only is there their ultimate happiness, but when parinibbana comes, that is the end. There's nothing more after that. So in order to convey that idea also,
you see my text? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the period between Nibbana of the Arahat and Parinibbana, it could be a moment of a few seconds. It could be a matter of, or it might be several years. It might be only a few minutes. That may not be apparent if you talk about attaining this blissful state. Because they will get the idea that what we're working towards is blissful state, but really the ultimate goal is the one after that.
And you were saying
the goal is not to have akusala. Are you referring to the fact that when one reaches arahata, there can be dukkha through body, but there's no aversion, there's no attachment, and that's the goal?
Because you see that the goal to reach, if we talk about Nibbana, is too far away, so highly, it cannot be reached at once. But what about not understanding reality right now? Should the goal be understanding whatever appears, and that is the way to eliminate kilesa, because of it comes from ignorance.
So again, we were talking about
the future, we're forgetting about
And we would forget about the elimination of akusala. Try and it's akusala again. Should be, is today better kusala than yesterday? See, from day to day, from moment to moment. If not, it means that ignorance is so strong.
But thinking about yesterday and today requires thinking in the form of a story. Because in one moment there can't be any, you cannot measure.
Right. But can one see in a day or in a week or in a month, in a year? Yesterday and today cannot see the difference. Yes. But what about months and years?
Yeah, I have a yardstick, my own yardstick of sort of measuring development of Satyampanya, sort of Buddhism. That is, I compare myself. No, it's not comparing. But I somehow compare myself with other people. And then when I examine other people's sense of values, yeah, which I can see they're totally different from mine, yeah. And then it somehow indirectly tells me that the values I cherish are not the same as others, and my values are more towards Buddhistic ones. And then I can see some progress. In that sense, I can see some progress in understanding. Can you see my point? Indirect measure.
But if it's thought with conceit,
Why do you have to become conceited? Lots of they have everything. I do not have anything. Nothing.
But it's still I.
Oh, I know. It's still at the first stage of the rocket.
Not down?
I don't know down.
Up with understanding, down with ignorance. So, where are you now?
Keep going down.
No.
Now I'm talking with me.
It's really the small, but you always use that similar. You always use that similar knife. Knife handle. Then it's really. Makes difference. Yeah. We do not see the progress, but yeah. And we know that it takes not just one life, 10 lives, or 100 lives.
Eons.
So the goal is
still one.
Understanding.
Right.
For the sake of understanding.
Right.
And there is no... There is no beneficiary. That was a very strong statement. For the sake of myself. No beneficiary.
Yeah, just one word, Dhamma. See? Yeah. No self there.
Would
it? Oneself either.
You mentioned Buddhistic values. It really comes down to understanding, doesn't it? Understanding of dhammas. So rather than and you can't by looking at others, we don't know what level of understanding they have actually. Yeah.
So now, no doubt about thinking. So what's about at moment of dreaming? Yes, good.
Thinking.
And now?
In that sense, there is no difference.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What I'm writing with my book is only two things. It's about Sabhava Dhamma, realities, and Sabhava Dhamma, realities, and how Satyampanya ought to be developed to see these things as there. That's all I talk about. But then I have to put lots of sort of more conventional things. Yeah.
In Japanese. Yeah. Or
in Japanese.
No, John was trying to tell you, because your
original question was how you express, explain Nibbana to other to your audience, and I think you were telling him that by way of saying that it is the object of Lokuttara Citta.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one thing you can say about Nibbana to your audience.
No. Then you have to explain what Lokuttara Citta is. So how do you explain what Lokuttara Citta is?
And why do we have to talk about Nibbana?
It's important. Ask,
why not now?
No. They ask, why do I have to become aware of all this reality? What's the benefit or use of seeing reality as they are? Is it really Buddhism? Is what they ask. Because they have this notion of Mahayana Buddhism. We have to be a nice person. We have to be kind to everybody. We have to help everybody. We become bodhisattva. That's the understanding of Buddhism.
Yeah, so
and if when I say, oh, see reality as they are,
By talking about blissful state, I think you're only feeding into that idea. It'd be better to...
Don't worry. Blissful in the sense that no more defilements.
People
might have a hope that they have to have set their goal to be Nibbana. So is there, if that's thinking, then is there a blocking the understanding of what happened now. You know, I think understand...
I'm not elaborating, elaborating what Nibbana is in my book. It's only one small section. Well, I think it's necessary description.
I would avoid blissful state.
That's all.
All right.
I mean, especially if the people you're talking about,
you're saying that they like to be good people.
Yeah.
And what that comes down to is attachment to the idea of being a good person.
I explain all these things. because there's a section of I just did conclude. I said one of the things she says is that if somebody advocates development of attachment, yeah, we can regard that one as non-Buddhist.
How long is this book coming?
I don't know, 100, 150. I haven't finished it.
Nenda?
No, half.
Half, wow.
And, so every form of Buddhism advocates attachment, meaning that in Japan.
So
yeah.
That comes down to the pleasant feeling, right? So if you're saying Nibbana, the goal is to be happy and blissful, you're just...
We have
making them more happy.
No, we have specific term, and that doesn't carry that connotation.
Right, you'll be telling them that the bliss of
bliss in English.
The bliss that
mine is not different. Mine is Japanese.
The bliss that comes with having no more defilements is different from the bliss that comes with when there are defilements.
You would have said, is paramount, it's the ultimate darkness. And quite often he says so.
Well, sometimes it's described as cessation, isn't it? So how do you reconcile cessation and blissful state?
Okay, take a very example, easy example, if somebody are scolding or sort of in Saudi, and if you, and that doesn't bother me at all, bother you at all, then do you not feel you are in a state of blissfulness?
Nibbana is just object of magga jitta, and then after that, the jittas are lokiya again, but there's no more a dosa arising. So that person,
okay, you're
not reacting to being scolded.
Okay.
There's nothing to do with Nibbana.
Instead of talking about Nibbana, what about the end of akusala or unwholesomeness?
No.
So they turn back to reality right now and understand better about what are kilesas, how many of them are there today.
It's a difficult thing to explain, so keep it short, perhaps.
Or turn to kilesa, the end of kilesa.
Oh, no, no, my story is like this. I always simplify things. Yeah. So attachment is the cause of all our suffering. Yeah? So this eradication of attachment is regarded as nirvana. And because there is no cause for suffering, in that sense, nirvana is bliss. Does it make sense?
What it means when nirvana is described as end of suffering?
What is suffering?
Condition.
Arising and falling away.
But, so it means end of the particular defilements?
Arising and falling away of Dhamma.
But parinibbana is the arising and falling away mm-hmm. completely. But
after
that,
kilesa, so it means that kilesa does not arise anymore.
So it is referring to the kilesa at each stage of enlightenment. Mm-hmm.
I remember another of those Thai Dharma issues in the foundation. Another one of them was on Pala Samapati and who could attain it and the details. So that was another one. Lots of.
But even that is not, is just the sign of Minita, isn't it? It's not the actual experience on Nibbana, Pala Samapati.
It is Nibbana that is experienced by those cheetahs, for those who have attained different stages of enlightenment and who experience jhana before that enlightenment, so that again there can be the experiencing of pala cheetahs again and again, the conditions for those pala cheetahs
so
to arise.
Pala Samapati is actually pala cheetahs arising again and again.
Again and again.
Nibbana as object. So usually when someone attains enlightenment, for example, the stage of Sotapanna, there is just Magga Chitta followed immediately by two or three Pala Chittas. But for the one who has attained that level with jhana, there can be the arising again of Pala Chittas with Nibbana as object.
But I thought Pala Chitta was the result of Magga. Was result of Magga. So what is Pala Samapati? Is the result of what?
Jhana Samapati, you know that? What is Samapati? It's not just the first moment of attaining jhana, but when jhana is so very keen, skillful, so that person can have more and more moment of jhana, citta. When that person does not experience Nibbana, that jhana citta cannot have Nibbana as the object. But at the moment of attaining jhana with high degree of factors of jhana of certain level, like first or second or third, so it can be after that moment that the skill of being able to have jhana at any time.
Sorry, you mean attaining enlightenment.
At moment of enlightenment with the factors of jhana of the degree of different jhana states, first, second, or third.
Okay. So the cause is attaining enlightenment, magga with jhana.
With jhana factors.
That's different from other magga chitta.
No,
without jhana.
And it's
those jhana factors arose just before the process, the jhitas which experience nirvana, for example, at the moment of Sotapanna. So if it was second or third, we talk about eightfold path, but actually if it's with higher jhanas, no vitaka, for example, so the factors that attain jhana experience nibbana, and that can be a condition for palachitas to arise again in the same way that the jhanachitas.
I thought when he was talking about
living in bliss, this is what he was referring to, pala samapati. But Buddha spent periods in pala samapati, sometimes translated as living in bliss or something like that.
So what about the Buddha when he, as Sarah was saying, when he experienced pala samapati on any occasion?
So very skillful.
And other arahatas can do that?
Yes.
Were they Sammasambuddha?
And at that time, so what is jhana? Is as a idea, as a nimitta, as what? As a reality? Because isn't it that magga must lead to pala?
Yeah, so at those moments of pala samapati, the object is nibbana. So it's
and
the... it's not magga citta. So the pala citta, the vipaka cittas, arise with the jhana factors.
So vipaka from what?
From
magga,
but
enlightenment. So the magga of the arahat conditions two or three palachitas, but in this case can condition further palachitas because of the skill.
And also not necessarily immediately after; it can be later.
Anytime. Mm. Just like those who have attained
higher levels of jhana, conditions for those jhana cittas to arise any time, like Sariputta fanning the Buddha.
No, but I think those are different, because that's not just, that goes step by step, right? It's not like suddenly he goes into the higher stage of jhana. And without, just as a result, could that happen?
You mean you're
talking about the pala samapati?
No, I'm talking about, like you're saying, Sariputta.
Okay, well, that actually was when he was fanning the
right.
Buddha and became an arahat. So at that point, there were jhana cittas arising immediately before the lokuttara citta, which would have brought immediate
pala.
And then afterwards, conditions for pala samapati cittas to arise.
Have you noticed any place where the term Buddha refers neither to Sammasambuddha nor to Pacheka Buddha, but to Arahat? Have you ever encountered?
What to Arahat?
Arahat. So Buddha, the term Buddha, yeah? Buddha means. Means arahat, regular arahat, not Sammasambuddha or Pacheka Buddha.
So there are three stages, Sammasambuddha, and then Pacheka Buddha, and Savaka Buddha.
Oh, Savaka Buddha. Ah. Okay.
Even Bodhisatta, Mahasatta means for Buddha, and Pacheka Bodhisatta. And Savaka, Bodhisattva.
Ah. Okay. And so what is a Savaka Buddha?
Anyone
yeah.
who would become Savaka has to develop parami. At level of being Savaka, not at level of being Pacheka and Sammasambuddha.
Savaka Bodhisattva, Savaka Buddha. What is Savaka
Buddha? The same Buddha.
Savaka Buddha means arahat.
Yeah, Buddha means the enlightened one.
Yeah. Because in Dhamma, Buddha, there is a very...
Like a Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha.
Yeah.
Sangha is Savaka. The Aryan Savaka, the enlightened Savaka only.
Yeah. Because in Dhamma, Buddha, there is one verse which says that being reborn as a human being is very difficult and rare. And then life as a our life is very difficult and very treacherous. And listening to the right Dhamma is very rare. And arising of Buddhas is very rare. And if we interpret that Buddha as seven Sammasambuddha or even Pacheka Buddha, it's very hard to understand, because one is reborn as a human, and then though life is very treacherous, one had an opportunity to listen to Dhamma and attain sort of enlightenment. May it make sense. So I wondered how I should interpret that, the term Buddha. And Kusuchi said that it even refers to sort of Arahat, Savaka Buddha.
Buddha.
Ah.
Sammasambuddha, Pancheka Buddha.
Buddha, Savaka. Ah, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Wow, come
here. Otherwise, what means by enlightenment?
Because when we hear the Buddha, we always think about Sammasambuddha.
Right.
Gautama Buddha. Ah, good, good, good. Very good. One more question. Last question. I often wonder why Buddhism has answer to every question. Because if somebody asks you a question, you always answer.
In Tipitaka.
Well, I wondered, and it's not Buddha's, Buddha's responsibility to give answers to everything, but everything is being answered.
When you learn, you know that from.
I wondered.
Always there. The right words, all the right words are the Buddha's words.
Because usually people would come here and ask about their life, right?
Their problems.
That's answer to everything. Yeah. I thought it's a bit odd. It's not wow, but it's odd. Why do we have to answer there? There is no responsibility. It's not religion's responsibility to give the answer to every question. But seems to be that Buddha, seems to be that.
He taught everything.
But also he said
any
that,
answer to yeah, yeah, question.
Right, yeah. Also, in one place, he mentioned that he only mentioned only 10% of what he have contemplated or he have realized. So there are lots and lots of things which he is not telling you guys, because they are not related to sort of direct path or leading to the right sort of path.
Came up about people who fight in the army, or I forget the exact question, and it could be about
dropping a bomb
or something. And how did you find the answer, or would you like to pursue that more? Because that's a good topic.
Well, it's not crystal clear, but I think in terms of Chitta and Chetasika, it's a little bit more easier to get to understand. We really don't know what people are thinking. In all likelihood, that's different degrees of akusala. In my mind, there's no question about that. But I can imagine in some cases people, and I have heard of cases, people being conscripted into the army, and they deliberately shoot them, don't shoot to kill them. They just shoot someplace to look, make it look like, and hope they get as wounded as quickly as possible so they can be taken out. I have heard of stories like that. So it seems to me, though, when you get into the Air Force, you're dropping bombs, it's really difficult. But as Jonathan said, I can conceptualize that it's theoretically possible.
And what about killing mosquitoes?
That's right. Well, people are often doing that. I often see that. And that's pretty obvious from the
akusala kamma patta
even. But so I think it's difficult sometimes to say, and sometimes only the Buddha. It's an interesting area, but I think Ajahn, you pointed out once before when sometimes people like judges or something, they just read out the law, this person will be hung by the neck until they are dead. That is reading it all out, and so the person's taken away or shot or hung or whatever. And I can see that sometimes, going on a bit here. Perhaps I'll ask the question, Ajahn, you know, when someone is sent in the Air Force and they're told to go and drop some bombs, and they drop some bombs by what their commander has said, can it be said that they are not responsible, they are just following commands?
You know that usually people like me to answer, right? Or to judge. But I'd like them to understand. Instead of believing me or what I say, but what about their understanding, their own understanding? So instead of talking about whether this or that, right or wrong, what about realities? A kusala must be a kusala, and kusala must be kusala. Nobody can change at all. But it depends on one's understanding about no self. Otherwise, we keep on going on different story, different situation, the whole life, and the whole next life, another life. But when they have the understanding, even from the very beginning of reality right now, it will lead to more and more understanding of no one, no self, no bombing, no soldier, no mosquito. See? Only citta and cittasika.
So you're saying, Ajahn, that we really, we can neglect panya,
right,
because of stories.
Mm-hmm. We cling so much to the situation, but not to understand what appears now, as Buddha taught, as what he had enlightened. So leave it after that person has the his own understanding to judge or to think about with understanding. Because so many, many situations in life.
And that's true, and that's, I think of a story or one particular sutta, where a monk committed, Sariputta thought this monk had committed suicide, but the Buddha said, no, he didn't. So it was a momentary thing, you know, Sariputta was trying to dissuade the monk from committing suicide. And the monk took a knife to himself. And the Buddha, when Sariputta went to speak to the Buddha said to him, he was without blame, that particular...
Because he had become arahata.
And it seemed, when I first read that, I thought, wow, that's really interesting. You know, here's Sariputta trying
who
to...
Who knows,
that's right,
each moment is of self, by conditions.
By the bombs, but actually they're killed by akusala karma in the past, right?
Yes. They're like really a big accident. They're like in Korea, for over 400 students also drowned and killed, and in Malaysia Airlines, all these people killed. Why at certain stage so many people are killed instantly? Meaning that if I am killed by somebody, then it's my vipakaya. Why, at the same moment, many people lose their lives simultaneously?
Not the same moment.
So that's, that
don't
mean
they have karma to condition the moment of vipaka?
But in the past, they did something wicked together or no?
Not necessarily at all. Who knows? See, this is kusala karma, and it will bring result later. And who knows whether
the good karma?
It's what I want. Oh, good karma. Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, no good karma. I wonder.
No group vipaka, because actually, even in that accident, it seems they all die at the same instant. But actually, it's not the same instant.
Are you alone now? Alone?
Yes. I'm always by myself. I love being by myself. I prefer.
What do you mean by I'm alone all the time?
I don't associate with anybody.
As long as there's someone in your mind.
Yeah, I'm talking to myself all the time. It's my problem. Yeah.
Alone means Panya knows that no one here.
Yeah. This may not be a Buddhist view, but I feel that there are sort of big waves, and then we can't really register that big wave. For instance, we are all born after the World War II, yeah? But during the World War II, it's hard to survive, yeah? Not to lose one's life, yeah? So there is such big waves, and in my case, it's like a big earthquake, because I was at the epicenter, yeah? And I couldn't escape from it. Yeah? So there are big waves, and then it's all, we can say that, we can view it from from viewpoint of karma vipaka, yeah? But there are still big waves in this world which are hard to sort of avoid, you know what I'm trying to say?
And what is the wave?
Geopolitical geopolitical event.
In terms of absolute reality? Waves.
Yeah, some comes as wave, big waves.
Okay.
Like unlucky.
What about Akusala?
Oh, yeah. But I'm lucky I was born after the World War II. Yeah.
No such thing as luck.
So, to your question, yeah, then during the war, the soldiers had no sort of power to resist the command that you should drop an atomic bomb in Japan or something like that. This is a question Kun Suchin often being asked by soldiers in Thailand. They often ask Kun Suchin, what can I do when my commander asks me to shoot enemy? Yeah? What can I do? Is it should the Aksala come up?
Well, that will depend on their understanding. You know, we often say that by conditions, he will make choices. The wiser, the more understanding that he has developed, or she has developed, they can develop strategies if they're in an awkward position. You know, there are cases of the. It will depend on conditions.
No, if they really don't want to care, but it just they quit. Yeah, that's what they can
they
do.
Could, yes, they could just quit. They could do lots of things, but I think if they want to avoid Akusala come.
So I think in that time it's okay to quit, you know, risk being court-martialed.
Somebody quit, somebody doesn't.
And the best moment is understanding. That's why no matter what would happen, if there are enough conditions for understanding reality, accumulate that from time to time, ready for any situation to understand whatever appears.
But so long as we don't understand, Chitta Chetasika will keep speculating and asking.
Right, 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 right.
Exactly,
right,
exactly,
right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think that helping the others to understand is the best thing in one's life. That's why all kusalas are blessings.
Even tiny moment of kusala.
Abstaining from akusala, even at moment of studying and understanding.
Years, 20 years later, one would see a tiny, tiny progress. Yeah.
In daily life?
Objectively, one can say that one has changed. Well, it's still one, but it's a notion of self, but one can see. Yeah.
Not the others.
Change anyway. Yeah.
Up or down.
Change up.
No. We are not changing. We are getting old. That's it.
No,
I know, but also your appreciation of what is gusala or what is good, what is your values change over the years anyway. That's just a normal part of going through life. So it has to be something a bit more specific than that.
Yeah, I mean, with that nice handle which you're referring to, in terms of improved understanding and more kusla happen, if there's no appreciation of the value of kusla now, the value of understanding now, and the harm of a kusla and of ignorance. So I think it comes back to now, all the time.
So while we're talking about killing, that might be appropriate time to bring up something else that I think has come up in our discussions, and that is eating meat versus taking the life of another being.
Well, I think it's sort of similar territory in a way, because it comes down to, you know, what Ajahn has always said, and I like your answer when I think I first answered about 40 years ago, eating is not killing. And that's, I've always found, a very helpful, simple answer. However, sometimes people in the West will somehow think you're colluding with the initial act. But from a momentary point of view and from responsibility, it doesn't have to be like that at all. So it's reasonably clear, I think so, to myself, that somehow, Ajahn, people say that if you eat meat, you're colluding with the act of killing. What would you say to that?
Supporting,
colluding means
you're
supporting killing. And it's quite a popular theme. And even I've heard people in the West say quite strongly that if you're going to eat meat, you should kill it yourself. That's what they believe. No, seriously.
If you go to the supermarket and you select the meat, then you're...
Yes, but I've even heard people say, who don't do that. I've heard people do roadkill. They only have roadkill, but they say that, you know, if you're eating it, therefore you are supporting the act.
And usually these same people would come to the conclusion that they would say you don't need to eat meat because there's fruits and vegetables in plenty. But if there were no fruits and vegetables, then you may have to kill. So they're actually supporting killing under certain circumstances. That's what it comes to. They say for survival. Now you don't need to kill for survival. So so that's justifying killing for survival, given the circumstance.
Yeah, but you just reminded me also that there's some people who believe that by picking fruits or picking vegetables, you're still killing. You know, some people believe that too. It's another subject, you know. Anyway, but I'm not sure on your point there that the connection you're making between people who say that you have to make, if you eat, yeah, can you elaborate on that? Do you know what I'm saying?
The arguments they would bring up to, because those people who eat meat, if they say you have to eat, they say you don't have to eat. There are fruits and vegetables available. You can't eat fruits and vegetables. And if you go along with that, you'll come to a point where they say if there were no fruits and vegetables, suppose you're in the jungle and there are no fruits and vegetables, then you might have to kill. So in that particular circumstance, it's okay to kill. These same people who...
Anyway, I think
to me, I think that we better study the teachings carefully. Otherwise, it's only speculation all the time, and what's right and what's wrong. But it seems like one would like to follow the words to be good and so on without any understanding at all. But it's better to understand that as long as there are the latent tendencies, there must be a kusala of what degree we don't know. But by understanding more and more about realities, it keeps on the right way, the panya, until the moment of enlightenment, no more killing.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, Ajahn, if do Thai people ever ask you, I'm hesitant to ask that.
See, because I'd like them to have understanding.
Yes,
rather than,
I understand that. Yeah. I really do understand
because
that.
Because no matter the answer is, I don't know, just for the satisfaction only, to get the answer. But
yeah, I see.
What can they do just by hearing? Without any understanding.
So
if one is one the other's best friend, try to help that person to have right understanding instead of trying to judge or give the answer, which is no use, because that person might just want to follow the right thing with the idea of I.
I believe I understand what you're saying there. And it's,
but still
it's a really good point.
People just want to get the answer, but what for?
Yeah.
To
I
follow or to what?
People want to, sometimes at a conceptual level, try to understand what the first precept is all about, and
but
they're trying to understand.
Can that guarantee that they will not kill anymore? Or
no,
what?
No,
so
no,
what's
I agree.
The use of having the quest, the answer?
If someone confuses eating with killing, what are the chances of them to understand
the
killing
Buddha
and eradicate?
Take kill? Meat, eat meat.
He did.
So, even Buddha.
Oh yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Oh yes, and
eating is not killing.
Mm-hmm. No, no, I agree totally. It makes sense to me. I suppose. I do have people, when I tell them what my beliefs are, they think I'm crazy, or they think it doesn't make sense to them.
As
they think
if they would like to have their own understanding,
yes, that's
instead
right.
of
exactly.
the other's understanding.
Yeah, exactly. I understand that.
And how to have the understanding? Just know more about this moment. Understanding more about this moment. As not self. So the first thing is understanding reality as not self. Not whether this is kusala kama or killing or what and what.
Perhaps I could say this, Ajahn, that when you're with friends and they ask you questions, it's like I'm wanting to be as helpful as I can be with them to understand the Buddha's teachings that. And there are many levels, and we know there are many levels of Dhamma.
Usually I ask them, and they think, and it's their own understanding. For example, I would ask, is killing moment of eating?
And they would, to that, usually, well, I would, a normal person would say no.
Yeah, so killing is not
no,
eating.
No,
yeah.
No. But a lot of people.
So what is killing? Intention. There must be intention to kill.
To harm. Okay. Yeah. Intention to harm. And some people, by extension, or they say, well, somebody has to do it.
That's matter. What about understanding? Because they
but
have.
They will say it doesn't
because
matter.
They have latent tendency,
yeah,
the accumulation for killing.
They will say it does matter, though.
For example, the fishermen, seeing lots of great bands in the net, fish, hundreds of thousands, they just kill by accumulation. But would anyone do that, depending on accumulation?
Also, these people, their concern may be
the animals that are being killed. They may say, I have concern for the animals that are being killed. So they're not, it's not a matter of understanding the teaching. It's a matter of their own idea about what is important, because they don't appreciate that the reason the animal dies is it's vipaka, past karma.
Then again, people may say, isn't that part of the Buddha's teachings, to be compassionate and caring and sensitive to other creatures?
When?
Well...
not that moment of eating.
Yeah, I'm aware. I'm just thinking hypothetically in a way, and it gets me into more difficulty.
And people say, well, if we didn't buy that meat in the supermarket, then those animals wouldn't be killed.
That's
but
right.
We can't, we don't know, because like as Ajahn said, some people, like fishermen, they just like fishing and killing. Some people just have the accumulations anyway, so it's, we can't, we don't know, because the actual cause of akusala is the accumulated akusala, not what other people buy or don't buy.